Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Today, I'm mentoring Sylvie Cabea. She's married to Mike Cabea Cazzotti, who's my sound engineer. Mike is in the throes of building a media production company and is a regular on our podcast show. The purpose of including those married to an entrepreneur or their significant other is to give a voice to those supporting entrepreneurs and to acknowledge that there's dramatic changes that happen in relationships between married, you know, significant people in our lives. When you start a business venture where you're taking risks to build a financial foundation for yourselves, and you don't exactly know the direction that it's going to go. And so I wanted to welcome you here, Sylvie.
Thank you.
Oh, good. So Sylvie just filled out a self-awareness mentoring journal, and the purpose of the journal is to help kind of set the atmosphere for us to have a very rich, authentic conversation that's very personal. But we would like to know, you know, presently how you're feeling and would like to share as much as you're comfortable with in your journey, and let's go from there. How are you feeling?
I can say I'm feeling like really optimistic, like and enthusiastic. Yeah, that's really what's in me right now.
Okay. Yeah. The two greatest feelings right now.
Yeah, I think so.
And what are you optimistic and enthusiastic about?
Yeah, you know, I've seen, since we reconnected, our family reconnected, my kids and I found Mike, like, on studies. He was on the computer, online all the time, learning things, experimenting things here and there. It took me a while to see exactly where he was going, and now it's like I'm starting seeing some fruits coming out.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I can say now he's got the tools of his sommetier, the tools of his work.
Yes.
Yeah, so
he's buying the equipment and he's getting clients. Yes.
Yeah, that's why I feel like thrilled. I want to see what's coming next.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, tell us, so you and I met a few years ago. It was not long before you and Mike had arrived, Mike was here before you, but you and the kids arrived from the Republic of Congo.
Yeah.
And you were at the Church of St. Philip.
Indeed,
yeah. And I was a parishioner there. Mm-hmm. And part of the choir.
Exactly.
And that's where we first met.
Exactly, yeah.
And then you became the choir director of the Francophone community at St. Boniface Catholic Church.
Exactly.
And we've become really great friends.
Yeah.
Sisters. Yes. I love that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So I just wanted our listeners to know a little bit of our background history. And I think also for you to share more of your background. I think I've heard some of it, but it's, so you were left in the Republic of Congo about what time? How long ago?
Mike left in September 2006. And we reconnected like 3 years after. We came here September 2009.
Okay.
It was a kind of dramatic situation. He was a journalist over there, and then we had these elections, like the first elections after a very, very long while. And the government or the people who wanted to keep the power, as you know, most of the time in Africa, those dictators, when they want to keep the power, stay on the head of the country, they do all kind of things, and they don't want people to be talking about all that.
Sure.
So yeah, Mike was one of the people who were like clearly talking to those people, and that put him in trouble. The journalists were killed. We had a couple of people being just disappearing and being killed, and that happened at that very moment after those elections. During the elections, he was working with those PBS journalist over there. He was like a...
Sure.
Yeah, working...
So he had a contract with PBS.
PBS, yeah.
And it would be involved different stories that he would be reporting on?
Yes, exactly. And one of... The move even came right after the elections, telling what was going on. And the people of the government, the Secret Service, were looking for him. So that's how he ended up... coming to the U.S., and me and my
because his life was in danger?
In danger, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
His name was, they were looking for him. Even one of his friends who looked really very much like him he was arrested because they thought it was Mike. My dad got in trouble. Myself, I was in trouble. So we had to move from the place we were living and hide in a different place. Me and the kid, they had to stop going to school, things like that. It was kind of dramatic. And so we changed kind of our way of living for that a very long time until we could figure out how to join him back here, to joining him here to America.
And you've got four kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, four children. Wow, that was so frightening for you.
Yeah, it was.
And Mike had shared that he, in his interview, that, you know, he was facing really the unknown. He didn't know where he was going to live, and feeling a lot of grief that he had to leave you and Sandy and the other three kids behind. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, he knew he would just land on his feet, and the people at PBS kind of... He found some friends there, and they helped him out get established here.
Yeah, exactly.
When did you get word that he was safe, and then how did you guys communicate?
He sent us some emails just saying, I'm safe.
Okay.
I'm safe. And then he could have a phone number, like around Christmas time. That's when he could have a cell phone.
Okay.
That's when we started communicating, and we couldn't even do it every day. It was like once a week.
Wow. Yeah. So were you staying with friends?
With my dad.
With your dad?
Yeah.
So you moved in with your dad. How close did he live to where you were living?
He was living kind of not in the same place. We had to move in a new place, a new city.
Okay.
With my dad, yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was not the same area. We moved, we changed, we left our area. His mom, who was also in danger, had to leave to another area. We kind of all got dispersed.
Okay.
Yeah, to erase all the tracks of us.
Oh,
so they
yeah.
couldn't, yeah, seek us
Track
and
you
find
down.
Us, yeah.
And so Mike's dad took care of you to make sure that you were safe and the boys were well taken care of?
Yeah, it was my dad.
Your dad?
Oh, yeah.
It was your dad. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now I get it. Yeah. Okay. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then did Mike ask you or say or why did the process take 3 years for you guys to be reunited over in the United States?
I think that first of all, he had to find like all the papers to settle in the U.S.
Yes.
And then that family reunion takes also a while. And mostly it was homeland. Yeah.
Homeland security. Yes. Okay, sure.
They were very, very slow to get your passport and everything.
Did the time go fast or did it feel like it was really a long time?
I think it was a very long time, but I only felt that when I got here. But in the meanwhile, through the process, I was like, oh, my kids are at last gonna go and live with their father like all normal kids. So they could tell me, come in a month, I would just hold. not feel how long could the month last,
yeah,
and just come back.
Oh.
Yeah. But after a while, if anybody, the day Mike was leaving me, told me that it would take you 3 years until you see him again, I don't know how I would have felt. Yeah. I don't know if I would have all that strength to just keep going through all those caprices of those, you know, those, all those offices, send you back and forth. I don't know, but we did it.
Yes, you did it. We mentor. So does it seem like when Mike started his business, does it seem like that's easy compared to what your history has been together, just to get reestablished here and leave your family of origin and come here and build a new life here?
Easy? I don't know. I think it's a new start. So it's just like, you when you come here, you're like starting from the scratch, your life.
Yes.
You have to reconsider everything you've been studying before and try to see what can still help you, can still give you like tools to find a job around here.
Yeah.
And when you're like, okay, I got nothing, what I have can't help me, I got to find new ways to restart.
Yeah.
It's actually what I found Mike doing. Like, he's like, I know this. I'm going to try to make this look like what people who know what I know here do. So he went back learning again. So to me, it was a kind of new thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, if that's what we got to do, let's do that.
Yes.
It. I don't know if I can say it's difficult. It's just something else, something new.
Yes.
Yeah. And you have little kids who like, I have to provide for my family. We have both, my husband and I, we have to provide for the family. So let's do what we have to do.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. You're amazing.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you
are, really. So you had also gone through some higher education when you were in the Republic of Congo?
Yeah, I went to law school.
Okay, and so you got a legal degree?
Yeah,
I do. So you were an attorney there. Did you have some time to practice law there?
Not long enough, but I have practice.
And when you did practice, what field did you practice in?
Yeah, I went through the rehabilitation of infant soldiers, rehabilitation, and also in labor law.
Labor law, sure.
Those are really my fields, yeah.
Okay.
But from the degree gives you really, it's up to you to choose where you want to go. The degree that does not have those big limitations. I can do anything in law, but those were my kind of my preference.
Yes,
I did like those two very much.
And did you find that you were able to get into the legal profession here in some capacity, or did you feel like, no, I had to get other kinds of work?
I couldn't go right away when I got here. My English was very poor. My English was very poor. And also, it's very different kind of laws.
Yes.
I have to go back and take some classes so I can refix my knowledge with American knowledge.
Yes.
Then I could go back to the profession.
Okay.
Yes.
And what are you doing now?
Now I'm a teacher. I'm a teacher, with young children in child care center.
Sure.
Yeah.
And did you need to go back to school for that?
I did not. Just my degree gives me... They just take my degree.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking about for yourself going forward? Do you want to get back into law?
Absolutely. Into law or into all the social sciences around law, rehabilitation of, you know, young delinquents, even the labor law. That's, it's not very, very different from the Congolese one, but it's, I still feel very, very passionate about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you'll be, so your vision for yourself in this area is to get back into law and into the profession.
Absolutely, because, you know, there is always this thing you are, you dream about yourself in a certain way in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And at a certain point, you ask yourself, what have I done with my dreams?
Yes.
Should I just let them go or... See, and it's like, it's still, my dream are still going on, so.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where do you see yourself in working with Mike in Kabeya Media? Oh. Do you see, or how do you see yourself partnering with him on that?
That is forever. that is forever. We've always been together in that, in everything he does.
Mm-hmm.
Since we got married, even long before we got married, we always do things together. You know, sometimes it's like a little sentence by here. He's like, "Oh, yeah, let's. What do you think? Really, can you explain what you mean? You know,
mm-hmm.
a suggestion. I look at him, or he looks at me. We've always been working together, criticizing each other, what he's doing." So,
yes,
that no matter what I do with my own life after, we're always in what each other felt all the time.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, if he were to say, you know, I need more help in this area with my business, like helping with the operations part of it, organizing the bookwork and invoicing and doing some of the bookkeeping.
Sure. We do that all the time. And lately I was like, you need to teach me how to use a camera. Because he keeps buying more sophisticated cameras. The only one I know to use is old. He doesn't want to use it anymore. But it has happened many times that he needed someone and I was there.
Yes.
He couldn't use me because it's... material was more sophisticated than my knowledge.
Yes.
And I'm just all the time I need to remind him to make me catch up with his lever.
Yeah,
because he goes too fast sometimes for me.
Mm.
Yeah, but I'm still around.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes, you both have just this gigantic appetite for learning new things.
Yeah.
And for exploring the world.
He mostly.
Oh, I don't know. I see you doing that too. But
he's
really
the one who always,
each other.
He's the one who always brings new things.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's the person who brings the new ideas.
New techniques.
Okay.
New techniques, yeah. Ideas, I don't know. He's very like down to earth.
Yes.
New techniques. It's like, I don't need this microphone anymore. I need this other one that brings me this. Or, you know, that adds more to my quality.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he likes to investigate and have the latest equipment.
Exactly. All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So where do you think you balance each other out or complement each other? Outside of what you've already mentioned.
Yeah. Like reminding him, you know, like... he has some customers, just reminding him to keep the dates, like the deadlines.
Yes.
Like, yeah, where are we with this customer? When is the deadline? Or when are you meeting this one? What do you have to do before you meet those people?
I see.
I'm kind of that person around there.
The organizational.
Yeah.
Person who is handling, you know, making sure he's on schedule with the deadlines and meeting them. And you're making sure he's got things on his calendar. And,
yeah.
Okay.
Even looking at the quality, sometimes like a quality checker.
Yeah. Excellent. We So Mike started the business how many years ago? Was it in 2013? Yeah, 2013. Yeah. You became a sole proprietor. And so he started getting different gigs with taking pictures, and he was focusing on weddings and other activities that started cropping up.
Yeah, exactly.
And as he also is working full time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a dad. You're both parents of four wonderful boys.
Yeah.
So what are the greatest challenges that you find in trying to like get this, the momentum of the business built up over 3 to 5 years? Are the challenges in your relationship?
I think the biggest one is his way of getting passionate and so involved in what he's doing. If he's learning a new program or taking a new class, he's so into it that he forgets all around them. So I'm going to be there, like coming from work, bringing all the four kids to games or school concert or school meetings. And when you look at him, there's just no way to ask him to stop, because it's like half killing him.
I see.
You just take the kids or like, okay, so let's just go.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, and all of us, the kids and I, we miss him. We would like seeing him at the games, at kids' concerts.
Yes.
To those kind of things. Yeah. But he's so into what he's doing that we're like, okay, let's give him his time.
Yeah. And that's the balance. In building a business, you need a single focus. And a direction that you're going. And it takes a lot of momentum to kind of build up the clients and get your logo together and put a business plan together and get all the software and and go out there and get the clients and then do the work for the clients. Mm-hmm. And some of the projects are a lot more involved and they're new and he hasn't tried them before. And so you're right there with him during that.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the taxing part, you're saying, is that he spends a lot of time doing that. And so he's not able to participate in as much of the family
activities
and supporting the kids in the sports that they're in.
Yeah.
So that is kind of the downside of it.
Exactly.
But if I would say anything about that, I would say that that's part of the things that you might want to start carving out a little bit more, because the work will always take over, because there's always more work, and these projects are really great and exciting, because when you're in when you're doing the work of what you're passionate about, there's really no time frame about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you really, you know, it just expands and bleeds into everything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so as a person gets, as kind of they have an understanding of what they're doing and they're getting the work, in the business that I feel you're creating, taking time to make sure that you have priorities with the family time.
Absolutely.
And then you start carving out the other work. And I think in 6 months that should be getting a little bit better.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. But because as you're finding out too, you know, that you're seeing the work that he's doing and you're enthused about it as well. And it all makes sense, because it also contributes to running the family and making sure everything's working there, and you're able to pay for everything and, you know, just support your lifestyle.
Exactly. That's actually, when the kids ask, that's what I keep telling them. You don't see dad now, but when he's giving us all the, you know, all the abilities to be doing more before with them.
It's a wonderful way to explain it.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Yeah. I just really appreciate our discussion.
Thank you.
Yes. It's really wonderful. And I think you're so supportive. I was wondering when you and Mike met. How old were you and where did you guys meet?
We The first day I saw him, he was in his class, in his auditorium. I was in 19.
So you're 19. From the same area? You're from the same
the
town?
The same college, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was in 1993. It could have been after Christmas, so in 1994.
Yeah,
that's when I first saw him, and then he joined the choir. That's when we became friends.
Yeah, that's beautiful. All right, so expand a little bit. We talked a little bit about choir and that you're a choir director at the Francophone community. And so we do music that's all memorized, mm-hmm. both in French and also tribal music in different languages.
Languages, African languages, yeah.
Yeah, and then we do also some in English.
Mm-hmm.
But you also, tell us a little bit more about your background in music and how you have transitioned that into some work that you're doing now.
Yeah, I've been in music like forever. My dad is one of his assistants, was a choir director. And one of these holidays, summer vacation, we were too loud singing in the house. He's like, oh, if you guys like singing, I know someone who can take care of you. Yeah. And he just drove us to church to his assistant. And it was me and three of my siblings. I'm the oldest of six kids.
Wow.
Yeah, we are three girls and three boys.
You're the oldest?
Yeah, I am the oldest.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so my dad drove us, four of us, and we went there. And that's how I started singing. Just the first day I got there, I liked it. I was there. I didn't know the song. So if I don't know the song, I'll dance. If I know the song, I'll sing. And that started like that. And then I kept singing all my life. I went to college, kept singing, and that's where I met Mike. I already mentioned it. I met Mike at the college, and then he joined our choir. And we came here. Mike, when I found him, he recorded some songs, and he was like, I would like to record you too. And yeah, so we took some popular songs and some of our own songs. Yeah, we're like composing, writing songs.
That you're doing now?
Yeah, we are still doing it. That's one of our other, it's a hobby, but God helping, it could become also part of the business.
Yes.
The Cavea Media.
And when did you start, how old were you when you started singing?
I was like 7 or 8. It's in 1979, right after the war, 1979.
Okay.
Right after the war, yeah.
Hmm. Excellent. Well, I think we should play some of your music.
If you want, okay. There.
We'll include that.
No problem.
Good. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Music brings me to tears. That's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. So, where did you produce this music?
In our living room.
Really? It sounds so professional.
Yeah, I think maybe because we use, Mike has gone through better programs like Logic Pro now.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So he's got some really good software editing program?
Absolutely.
This is all the materials and the equipment that he's been buying. Okay, it's showing up here.
Absolutely.
And then how long did you date before you decided to get married?
5 years. It's 5 full years because we did our traditional wedding in the first, how do we say that? 31st, December 31st of 1999.
Oh, yeah, that's a date to remember.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He came over with his family to meet my family, and we did all the traditional process on that night. Yeah.
How old were you guys?
29, 28.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. 29, 28.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So we were married in 2000, April 29th.
Okay. So, yeah, back home, people go through like three processes.
Three?
Yeah. The first one, the first ever, you go in the family, there is a traditional wedding.
Mm.
After that one, then you can go to, you do the legal one. The church doesn't take anybody that doesn't have the two.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
To get married in church, you need to provide the proof that the traditional wedding and the legal wedding are done.
So who oversees the traditional wedding? Like who?
The family.
And who says the vows? And
There is not like vows. Like there is each exchange of the dot. Dowry?
The wedding rings?
No, not the wedding. The something we call the dowry.
Okay.
My culture, it's mostly the man family that brings a present and an amount of money and to the woman's family.
Okay.
And the woman family is in charge to make a big meal for the people who come. So that's... Yeah, mostly what they do. I don't want to go in details.
Okay.
That's mm-hmm. what they mostly do.
Okay.
Yeah, and there is always the elder of the family. Might be just your dad or some older, his dad's big brothers, uncles, grandpa. If he's there, anybody that's older than your dad, that's going to be like presiding to that ceremony.
So do they sign something then so that you have proof that anything, this occurred?
All the things are just, you see, verbal.
Okay.
Yeah. But they know that you came. They have the proof of the things you brought in the family.
Oh,
and
I
you
see.
You guys are considered married.
And then after that, a few weeks later then, do you go through the legal process where you go to a court? Courthouse?
Yeah, we go to, yeah. So it really, you plan that as you want. Some people do that in 3 days. First day you go to finish the traditional. Next day you go to do the court and then the religious one. Ours went, like we first did the traditional one on December 31st. And then August the 18th, 2018, we went to the legal one on the Saturday morning,
uh-huh.
and the Saturday night we did the religious one.
I see. So do you celebrate all the dates or which?
Yeah. After the legal one, it was just sharing a drink, like a toast,
mm-hmm.
and we went for a rest an hour or two, and we had a big mass after... in the afternoon for like now the religious ceremony and a very big party after that one.
Okay. Yeah. So when you celebrate your anniversary now, which date do you celebrate on?
August 18th, on the religious one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else that you would like to share or any questions that you have that you would like to discuss about how Mike is moving forward, any of the business planning?
Kind of. The only, like, our, both of us, we have a kind of, like, a concern or a kind of worry.
Yeah.
It's like with everything we do, we want to do all the plans we have, all the our dreams in this field. How can we still stay in the brackets of the law and not being like owning money to the law, to the government, like tax money?
Okay.
You know?
So you guys have talked about that. And
yeah, it's something we started like, you know, just like playing around. You're like, he's like, I can learn this. But we're buying material. If one day we have to count our capital.
Yeah.
You know.
So you know it's become more serious now. And exactly. You're thinking it's gone from a hobby to really a business a that you're building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And so we will be answering that, some of your legal questions with a tax accountant.
Oh, cool.
Not your legal questions, but your financial questions. And then...
And all that, I think.
And then I'm going to take Mike, and I would like you to be involved in the process when we do some business planning.
Absolutely.
And we'll do that off the mic, and then we'll share some of it on... you know, with our audience through the process. So they have an idea of, you know, how what it's like to go through the process. Good. All right. And with the business plan, you also will have an opportunity to see how much money you're going to need to kind of grow the business to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then you can figure out how am I going to cash flow that?
Exactly.
And yeah. Do I need to go get a loan or can I cash flow it by... having so many clients that I have and, you know, do it through the work, especially if you want to grow it within your means.
Yeah.
You know, that's an option too. Mm-hmm. But we'll be exploring all of those so absolutely. That you'll feel more confident as we go through the process and feel like you're building and setting in place a really strong foundation.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh,
this has been wonderful.
You're welcome.
Oh, and you are very articulate. I mean, the amount of English, like, I don't remember you ever not being really, like, I've always understood you well with your English. I think there's just always words, you know, every now and then that, but you have a really wonderful vocabulary and...
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm just really impressed. I wish I spoke more French.
Oh.
Which I have to start seriously learning, I can see.
But the challenge is also, even if I can speak, but sometimes people are talking around me, I don't know what they're saying. Now I'm getting better.
Okay.
Yeah, but people could be talking around me, I don't even know that they are addressing to me, so...
Okay.
It takes really a while for our brain and our brain to get used to the sound.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does music help?
Oh, a lot.
Okay.
The music helped my kids' homework. So it started with helping my kids with homeworks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the music, singing in English.
Okay.
And then some PBS kids.
Yes.
Yeah, that helped me a lot, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Those programs are really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, for learning a new language.
Yeah.
Hmm. Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for today.
Yeah.
I'm just really grateful that you guys are in my life and that you're here to be so open to share with our listeners your journey into entrepreneurship. And my listeners, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.